Books of the Bible. 2 Corinthians is Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church, written about 1 year later. Since Paul had last written, some false apostles had snuck in and began to question Paul's authority. There are many who claim authority in the church, but those called by Christ will bear the marks of Christ, which are humility and reliance upon Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You're listening to this year's winner of the Christian Radio Program Segway Award winner competition thing. Probably have something like that in Nashville. This is Wretched Radio, not to show off with our segues, but we were talking about worship music and preaching that is literally being outsourced to AI. We're letting computers write what only humans should be offering to God. What's just amazing to me is that we're having a debate about it. Should this really? Is this hard really? It reminds me, I think it was in Texas a number of years ago, there was an old, probably very crusty, and I'm sure he was a white heterosexual Christian male who was talking. He wanted to have laws for appropriate attire in public. And of course, the liberals were just, oh, you can't tell people what to wear. And the question was asked of him, well, how do you know what's inappropriate? And his answer was, you just know. And that is exactly how we should be responding to this AI thing. It's like, we just know. It can write stuff really well. It can. The number one song in Christian worship is written by a computer, performed by a computer. Now, of course, it can do those things well. And in a lot of regards, better than humans, but it's not human. And therefore, it can't actually do it. In other words, this worship song and this worship singer, it's Rich Little. It's nothing but an impersonation of a human being, but an impersonation ain't the real thing. And that means an impersonated sermon, an impersonated worship song, it ain't real. And this should be intuitive to us where it's like, no, that's dumb. We're not going to do that. We're the cream of the creative crop. We're not going to let them take our role and do what they can't even do. So this worship song that we heard, it wasn't a worship song. Wasn't. Because it's not real. Any more than the microphone stand I'm looking at is a worship leader. Well, I could probably get it. I could hold it up and I could move it around so it can look like a worship leader. As long as, of course, I can get it to raise its hands over its head ecstatically. The point is, it can't. Because it isn't. And this should be a no-brainer, outsourcing our sermons and our worship. Jimmy, did I hit the word outsourcing enough?
Yeah, I think so.
Headline, Christians, don't outsource your obedience just because Gavin Newsom found a Bible verse. See, the segue right there? I used the same word. Maybe I should have put that in AI and come up with something better. This was a really helpful article from Peter Heck. Apparently, Gavin Newsom, no shocker to anybody, he's going to be running for president. I think that seems pretty obvious. And suddenly, he's quoting the Bible more. Huh. Isn't that fascinating? Well, he knows progressives aren't going to go anywhere. Now, he's not going to be quoting Bible verses that actually convict. So he's not going to be quoting Bible verses that actually have some sting to them that, like, okay, he's never going to get up in front of a group and say, hey, we're here because we just experienced another earthquake in California and it's a tragedy, but this is what Jesus said, that unless you repent, you will likewise perish. He's not going to quote that verse. Instead, what is he going to quote? Out of context, social gospel, nothing but saving the planet, loving the mother, and unbiblical welfare programs. And those won't offend those on the left, but it's designed to kind of ear tickle those that are in the center and maybe just slightly rhino-ish to the right. Peter Heck reminding us, he's not a theologian and he doesn't know what he's talking about. And yet there will be people persuaded by the verses that he used, because it's not that God never talks about taking care of the poor, making sure that justice is distributed, that justice is executed equally. He is intrigued by those things. Now, is that a major theme of the Bible? I don't think it's a major theme. It's not a theme, but I hear a lot of theologians, liberals, saying it's a major theme in the Bible. Well, I'm sorry, Malachi, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Yeah, that's a verse. Yep, there are definitely Psalms where God, he's very angry. Jimmy, would you look for the Psalms that where God warns the people, hey, don't execute justice inequitably. He doesn't like it. Now, there's one for sure that is like, that's what the Psalm is about. But that's out of 150 Psalms. That doesn't make it a major theme in the Psalms. Now, I'm not trying to use that to say that it is somehow diminished in its importance, but it is to say it's not a major theme as liberals purport. Gavin Newsom, this is actually the San Francisco Chronicle. The headline read, as Gavin Newsom's national profile grows, his rhetoric is getting more biblical. Caring for vulnerable children and orphans is so important and so big in the Bible. Well, caring for vulnerable children and orphans is so important. Is it so big in the Bible? Now, if you mean by big, is it a big deal to God? Yes, it is. But is it like just the gong that gets gonged over and over again in the Bible? No, it's not. We have the encouragement to take care of widows, to take care of orphans, to visit widows and orphans, that God has adoption as a picture of the gospel. It's a theological term. That's our relationship with God, adopted into his family. When we adopt, we are a reflection of the gospel. But is that just a big theme ongoing? No, it's not. Government programs, writes Peter Heck, do not fulfill the Christian obligation to love our neighbor. Because that's another quote from Gavin Newsom. Hey, you got to love your neighbor. So he's using the Bible to say, you need to get on board for government funding of programs that support people. Jimmy, did you find that Psalm by any chance?
There are several.
Give me the best one that you think is reflective.
So Psalms 82, how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked?
Yep.
Psalm 72, he will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice.
Yeah.
Shall the throne of wickedness frame injustice by statute?
So there's a number of references to it, but there's one in particular that repeats the refrain, I think, a little bit more. It's not the entirety of the psalm, but I think it's most of the psalm. Because, yeah, that is important. He doesn't like injustice. He hates that, and we should too. I'm simply saying that when people say it's a big, it's all over the Bible. No, that's just not accurate. Say it's a big deal to God, and I amen that. But these aren't theologians, needless to say. So regarding Trump's denial of climate change, he's calling it anti-Christian. Quote, it's an affront to God, not my word. Those are the words of the Pope. Well, those aren't the words of God. In the spirit of Isaiah, we want to be repairers of the breach. Oh, he's quoting Isaiah 58:12. What is that verse talking about? Rebuilding broken walls and the ruins of Israel has nothing to do with the climate. Peter Heck does a nice job. What caused the devastation? It wasn't mismanagement of natural resources, nor was it failure to give trillions of tax dollars to the government to fight the weather. In Isaiah 58:12, God tells Israel that they become an affront to him for sacrificing, read aborting in our context, their children, sexual liberty, burn with lust under every spreading tree, sacrifices to a plurality of false gods and religions, love of alcohol, oppression of the poor, and exploitation of labor. Well, there's another verse right there, exploitation of people. Governor Newsom says, no, this is about repairing the environment. Sorry, sir. You can't take a verse out of context. What do we expect? I mean, seriously, what do we expect from a Gavin Newsom? Nevertheless, this is why perhaps the most important hermeneutical principle is context, context, context. Read the entire verse. You could tag Governor Newsom on this because there's people who are going to hear and go, oh, the Bible says we're supposed to be repairers of the breach. Okay, then how much do we give to this program? Now, here, just kind of an accounting note. If you're in Minnesota and Tim Walz, he wants to use a Bible verse to promote, so to fund some sort of welfare program or for some sort of program that is supposedly about human flourishing, make sure you put at least another $1 billion on it for the Somalian graft, because that's got to kind of come off the top of the whole thing, which is another reason why government programs are not giving. Next on Wretched Radio.
You know as well as I do, college campuses are battlegrounds. They always have been. Ideas clash, worldviews compete, and somewhere in the middle, students are trying to figure out what's actually true. This year, Fortis Institute showed up. 3 campus visits where we share the gospel and equip students to think clearly. Also, 300,000 Play the Man booklets put directly into the hands of students, giving them tools to push back against the lies they're hearing in classrooms. And look, it's working. Students are waking up. They're asking questions. They're realizing there's another way to think about masculinity, about their faith, and about truth itself. But 3 campuses aren't enough. Next year, we're planning to visit 12 campuses. And also, Todd's new book, Go Serve Your King, releases with HarperCollins next year as well. And here's the opportunity you have right now. Every gift you give through the end of the year is matched. Dollar for dollar match, up to $500,000. Your donation literally doubles. FortisInstitute.org. Give now and watch your gift double today.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Krotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Lexicon. Pneumatology is a study of the Holy Spirit. Scripture reveals that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force or manifestation, and He is God, the third member of the Trinity. His work is not to provide emotional highs or show up in glory clouds or gold dust. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness to the Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Segways Are Us. No, we're not actually finished. This is Wretched Radio. Governor Newsom quoting the Bible. Wow. He must not be as liberal as he obviously is. Well, no, he's actually just using the Bible, which in my estimation should cause the true Christian community to cry foul. How dare you? The question, if I were a reporter at a Governor Newsom press conference, sir, you've been quoting the Bible lately. Do you believe that the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, sufficient for all of life and godliness? Do you believe that the Bible is the only true word of God, which means Jesus Christ is the only Savior, which means Allah ain't a real God, and that Buddhism's eightfold path leads to destruction? Would you affirm that? Because you're quoting the book that says that. And this should be the type of thing where we say, how dare you? How dare you misquote our Bible for the sake of your political agenda? Peter Heck, I think he wrote this at Not the Bee, if I'm not mistaken, talking about the Bible verses that he uses to promote government programs for helping people, for feeding people. Now, it shouldn't need to be said, but in our current cultural environment, we will say it. Of course, Christians care. Of course, Christians don't want to see people starve. Of course, we have compassion for people. But there is a massive distinction between individual compassion and government welfare programs. There's just, they're not, it's A and B. They're not the same thing. And Governor Newsom likes to use Bible verses that talk about individual giving, individual acts of kindness, individual acts of being a good Samaritan, and saying that's about government programs. It's a category switcheroo. The Bible, this is from Peter Heck, the Bible's command is personal, not bureaucratic. The command is never, quote, from Matthew 14, 16, ensure Caesar expands the welfare state. No. Instead, Jesus said what? You give them something to eat. You do it. Where you are able. You, because you have been fed, because you have been saved, because God has been kind to you. Now go be kind to others. It's individual. It's not welfare state. The Good Samaritan did not pass the injured man and declare, poof, there must be a tax-funded program to care for men like this. No, he cared, he stopped, and he paid out of his own pocket. That's what true giving is. So Governor Newsom, sorry, you keep your hands off the Good Samaritan. It has nothing to do with the welfare program. Now, there is one thing about the welfare state that I think we should be challenged by. And that is, in the Old Testament, it isn't crystal clear, but it does appear there was some sort of welfare program in the nation of Israel. I believe it was a 2% poor tithe slash tax to take care of those who were poor. There was also the gleaning program. Now, they had to do work with it. That we understand, but it does appear that the nation of Israel would take care of those who couldn't take care of themselves. This is why, by the way, why family was so important back then. Family was so needed because if you didn't have family and you couldn't work, you could die. You would just starve to death. So family was super crucial. Nevertheless, for those that didn't have that, they did have welfare programs. They did have some way of taking care of those corporately. I think we can't throw that out. That's got to be there. So what do I do with that? Well, I'll tell you how I kind of harmonize it. And that is, I think the government can have assistance programs for those who are in actual need. But we have other Bible verses that talk about not just providing for people who are not willing to work, who are not willing to contribute to the society, that aren't willing to take care of their families, or people who are making decisions that are so horrific, so consistently, that they're actually detrimental to themselves and to society. So I do think that we can have, that we can be okay with a government that says, hey, we want to do something to help that particular group of people. Now, the question, of course, is who is that particular group of people? I would suggest to you it is wildly lower than the currently, what is it, 45% of all of Americans are on some sort of welfare program? 45%. And some of those are actually Americans. I'm kidding you with the immigration joke right there. That seems to me to be a bloated welfare program. And if you've got able-bodied individuals who are simply taking money off of the dole from those who are working hard, that's a bad, well, that's an unbiblical welfare program. That's not biblical. Back to Peter Heck. James doesn't say religion that is pure is lobbying Rome for a better social safety net and supporting politicians who agree. No, you visit widows and orphans in their distress. That is what Christian charity is. Personal. He then writes, government assistance is not the fruit of the Spirit. When the government takes money before you can even see it hit your bank account, because it takes it before you get your paycheck, that would change everything if we would make people actually pay their taxes after they already received what they'd actually earned. Nevertheless, when the government takes money to distribute it to others as they see fit, that's not fruit of the Spirit. That's compulsion. Fruit of the Spirit is I want to give. I want to help these people. I want to do things because I've been shown so much kindness myself. Supporting welfare programs is not biblical generosity. Campaigning for those who offer subsidies is not compassion. A tax withholding is not a tithe. Giving is from the heart. Isn't that what Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9? God wants you to give from the heart. Taxes are not giving from the heart. It's forced giving is what it is. It's compulsory. You don't have a choice in the matter. God wants cheerful givers. Number three, the danger of letting Caesar define compassion. Politicians who redefine scripture to bless state power is, well, dangerous, because we can begin to subconsciously outsource, there's our segue word, outsource obedience. It's like, I don't have to give. I don't have to be kind. I don't have to be charitable. The government's got this. That's a temptation. I would be shocked if there were many people who said, well, I've never thought about it that way, where we never thought, you know, those people that perhaps genuinely need help, maybe we've passed by saying, well, they've got all kinds of programs that they could be involved in. Now, again, going back to my opinion that a government can have some sort of safety net program for people who actually qualify because they actually are not capable of providing for themselves. I think I can live with that biblically, but I want to be careful if it's a broader program that causes me to neglect being compassionate myself. Why sacrifice personally when the government is taking care of the job? Why give joyfully when the IRS will compel giving anyway? I would be generous if I had to be, but the government, they force me to give anyway. So my bases are covered because I have to. That's the danger of bloated government welfare programs. And that is the danger of those politicians who misuse Bible verses to somehow sanctify socialism. Hey, that was kind of tweetable right there. They use that is a pretty good tweet. Shame on politicians who use Bible verses to sanctify socialism. Huh?
That's good.
Pretty good?
Yeah, I'm tweeting it right now.
Yeah, please. Thank you for that. That's
taking all credit.
That's why we're here. Hey, Speaking of giving, did I mention yet that it's that time of year when you can give from your heart to ministries that really do need your support at this time of year? This is the big time of giving. And I know you have demands. I get it. We all feel it. And we all feel the economy. I'm waiting for that golden era because it sure doesn't feel like it when we go to the grocery store or want to even think about going out to eat. Zoinks, Scoob. So if you can't, don't. Giving isn't compulsory. Not even tithing. You give what you can. You give what you want to. First to your local church. But should you happen to have abundance after that, I promise you, we will not be a California welfare program. We will work hard for the money. We will work hard to make sure that every penny that you entrust to us is used to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a match campaign. It's year-end giving, and we'd be grateful. FortisInstitute.org/donate. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.